Good morning, all. It's nice to see each one of you here this morning and to be able to share the gospel of Christ with you. Back in June, I was preparing for a sermon. And everything went well. You know, the words came, the scriptures came, and then I discovered that this was for me. You know, it was a sermon for me. It was mine. And I shared this sermon about a month ago with the East Local. Well, after this sermon, and this is getting to how I come to the sermon I'm going to present this morning, I hope. After the sermon, one of my dear brothers and friends, you know, that's special. To be able to call each other friends. To have such a relationship with each other that we can say, well, anyway, this friend said, I was waiting for you to preach to me. Well, I'm going to tell this friend this morning, this is for you. I want to say one other thing before I get started. That I love each one of you. I'm concerned about you. I'm concerned about the Church of Christ. I'm concerned about its mission. I'm concerned about its direction. And anything that I may say this morning is said in love. And I hope it's taken in that way. I want to thank our brother Roger last night. He kind of set the stage for what I have to say today. And one of the things he said was that sometimes what is said is not what we hear. So I want everyone to listen carefully this morning. Because I'm going to tell each one this morning what your duties are in this Church of Christ. And every one of us, whether we be apostle, whether we be elder, whether we be priest, teacher, deacon, whether we be man, woman, or child, in this Church of Christ has a duty to perform. And the way that we, each one of us together, perform this duty will tell where this Church of Christ will go in the future. I'm going to read out of the Book of Commandments for my first reading. In chapter 24, starting with verse 31. And the duty of the elders, priests, teachers, deacons, and members of the Church of Christ, and that covers us all, doesn't it? An apostle is an elder. And it is his calling to baptize and to ordain other elders, priests, teachers, and deacons, and to administer the flesh and blood of Christ according to the Scriptures, and to teach, expound, exhort, baptize, and watch over the church, and to confirm the church by the laying on of hands and giving of the Holy Ghost, and to take the lead of all meetings. And brother apostles, this church of Christ is looking to you. It's looking to you. And it is your duty to get down on your knees and pray that God gives you the wisdom, the courage, the strength to lead us. It's apparent to us. It's apparent to us that we have failed. We have half of a council. They need help. But without the support of us to support those men with our prayers, our strength, and our might, they will not be able to accomplish their goal. Ask for guidance. Listen to that Spirit of God that will speak to you. If you so desire. But you must come before Him in fasting and prayer. For He is desiring that you do so. And He has promised that He will answer your prayers. And that He will lead your hearts so that this church and this people may move forward. The elders are to conduct the meetings as they are led by the Holy Ghost. And we who are elders in this church, it is our duty to show by the example in our lives that we believe the things that are in the Bible and the Book of Mormon, Latter-day Revelation. We need to show by our walk and by our talk that we are truly the disciples of Jesus Christ. We are to lead in love and concern for the feelings of the congregations. And to put from our lives those things that people can look at and say, why should he be telling me what to do? Look at the things that he does. Brothers and sisters, I know that we do this. And so I say to you elders in this church, straighten up your lives. Walk the walk, talk the talk, that you know Christ wants you to do, so that you may be able to lead the congregations in the ways of righteousness. The priest's duty is to preach, teach, expound, exhort, and baptize, and administer the sacrament, and visit the house of each member. Are we priests? Are we doing that? Are we making it our duty to visit each and every member of this Church of Christ within our homes? That is your duty. That's the job that you were called to do. And for this church to move to the place that we all want to see it to move, we must all do our duties. We must all do those things that we know Christ wants us to do. The teacher's duty is to watch over the church always and be with them and to strengthen them and see that there is no iniquity in the church, neither hardness with each other, neither lying nor backbiting or evil speaking, and see that the church meet together often, and also see that all members do their duty. What a responsibility that the teacher has. Teachers, are you doing that duty? Are you sure to see that there is no iniquity in the church? That there is no disputations one with another or backbiting? For this Church of Christ to move forward in the way that we want it to do, those teachers must do their duty. And they must start doing that duty today. I can tell you, brothers and sisters, we don't have that much time. It's not down the road. It's not years from now. It's now that we should be gathering in those that are of like mind. But we can't do it. We can't do it until each and every one here this morning and each and every one within this Church of Christ starts doing our duties. The duty of the members after they are received in the baptism. The elders and priests are to have sufficient time to expound all things concerning this Church of Christ to their understanding, previous to their partaking in the sacrament and being confirmed by the laying on of the hands of the elders. Did we do this, brothers? Did we of the ministry expound all of these things to those candidates as they come into the waters of baptism? Did we expound those things that their understanding was sufficient for them to be baptized? Have we done our duty? And the members shall manifest before the church and also before the elders by a godly walk and conversation that they are worthy of it, and there may be works and faith agreeable to the Holy Scripture, walking in holiness before the Lord. Every one of us has a duty to perform. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, which is your reasonable service. We as members of this Church of Christ have duties that we must do. And the first duty that each one of us, whether we be the apostles, whether we be elders, priests, teachers, deacons, or just members, have a duty to love God. Now that's a very easy thing to say. You know, love God. But there's more to it than just saying, brothers and sisters, that I love God. It's showing in our lives by our godly walk and our obedience that we truly love our Heavenly Father. Jude verse 21 says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our God Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That's the goal that we have. That's the goal that our brother was talking about last night. We have a goal to attain eternal life, but we also have duties that we must do before we're able to get there. And remember that great commandment. Thou shalt love thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy mind, and with all of thy strength. Are we doing that? Are we putting our Heavenly Father first in our lives, in our love? Or are there other things in our lives that take up our time, take up our energies, drain off our love, that we should be focusing towards our Heavenly Father? Are these things happening and standing between us and that goal of eternal life? Standing between us and our doing our duties. The second thing that we have to do is we have to love each other. We have to love each other. And I go back to the point I made earlier, that what a great thing that we can call each other friends. You know, we need to get closer than just brother and sister. We need to become friends one with another. The Bible tells us that friends would lay down their lives for each other. You know, I've had family, we call ourselves the family of Christ, but I've had family I didn't care for. And you probably have too. But when you have a friend, when you have a true friend, that you can count on in times of trouble, that's the relationship. That's the love that you have a duty to do in this Church of Christ. If we were all friends one with another, when things come up that we don't agree on, we wouldn't fight and bicker. We would hug each other and understand each other and love each other. I'd like to read 1 John. First John, the 4th chapter, the 7th to the 11th verse. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. What a promise. What a promise. If that great love is in our souls and in our hearts, then more than likely that love of God is there also. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we should also love one another. That's our duty. That's our duty. And by so doing that duty, by loving God and loving each other, we'll take a giant step in attaining that goal that our brother was talking about last night. We have a duty as members of the Church of Christ to keep ourselves free from sin. To put from us those things that are contrary to God's law. Again, in 1 John, the first verse. I mean the first chapter, I'm sorry. Starting at the sixth verse. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and know not the truth. You know, it's not what we say, brothers and sisters. It's not the amount of scriptures that you and I know. It's what we do. It's how we act. It's how we treat each other. These are the things that we'll be judged on. These are the things that we must do. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We're to walk as Christ walked. We're to use Him as the example. And this is the example ministry that the church in whole looks at you for. Are you walking that walk? What a responsibility that is placed upon the shoulders of mankind. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We all sin. It may just be the sin of omission and not the sin of commission. And we have to recognize the sins that is in each one of us and remove those sins. It is our duty to do so. And for this Church of Christ to develop, for this Church of Christ to grow, for this Church of Christ to be that light, we must do that duty. We must put from ourselves the sins of the world. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. But He's ready to forgive. He's ready to cleanse. He's ready to help us get our feet on that straight and narrow. But it takes an action on our part. And that action is asking for forgiveness. And that action is not only asking for forgiveness, but going down a new road and putting that sin away from us. The Scriptures tell us to do works meet for repentance. In the Book of Mormon, page 93, starting with the 43rd verse, and this is in the second book of Nephi. And why should I yield to sin, he says here? Because of my flesh? Yea, why should I give way to temptations that the evil one hath placed in my heart, to destroy my peace and afflict my soul? And that's why the devil puts sin in our lives, to destroy our souls, to destroy the Church of Christ. Why am I angry because of my enemy? Awake, my soul, no longer droop in sin. Rejoice, O my heart, and give place no more for the enemy of my soul. Do not anger again because of mine enemies. Do not slacken my strength because of my afflictions. Rejoice, O my heart, and cry unto the Lord, and say, O Lord, I will praise Thee forever. And this is another one of our duties that you and I need to do. Every member of this church needs to get down and praise the name of the Lord. My soul will rejoice in Thee, my God, and the rock of my salvation. O Lord, wilt Thou redeem my soul? Wilt thou deliver me out of the hands of my enemies? Wilt thou make me that I shake at the appearance of sin? And brothers and sisters, this needs to be our prayer. Whenever we say our prayers to our Heavenly Father, this needs to be paramount. That we would quake and shake and be repulsed by the very appearance of sin. But I'm afraid, brothers and sisters, that we've become just the opposite. I believe we've become jaded and hardened at the appearance of sin. God told Alma that whosoever will not repent of his sins. Now listen to this, because this is just as true today as it was in Alma's times. That whosoever will not repent of his sins, the same shall not be numbered among my people. The same shall not be numbered among my people. We have a duty. We have a duty to keep ourselves free from sin. In Galatians, the 5th chapter, starting with the 14th verse. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye may not be consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You know, if we're walking in the Spirit, if we have that communion with God in our lives daily, then we won't want to commit that sin. It'll be easier for us to put that sin behind us. It'll be easier for us to overcome the temptation that comes into all of our lives to commit sin. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. We're under God's grace. We're under God's love. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresy, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things, and again we come to those very important words, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, if these things are in our lives, if this sin is here among us, then we cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And it is our duty to put these things from us so that we may all enjoy reaching that goal of eternal life with our Heavenly Father. The next thing that we must do, it's our duty to do, is to put the things of the world away from us. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world. Oh, I know there's some pretty flashy things out there. There's some pretty nice things out in the world that look good to us, that look harmless to us. And yet if partaken of, they will destroy our souls. And they will lead us closer and closer to the devil, and further away from that goal that each one of us want to attain. Neither the things that are in the world, goes on to say in the 17th verse, the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So if we're able to put the things of the world away from us and abide in God, then we're going to endure forever. And that's our goal. The fifth one is, it's our duty to pray often. It's our duty to get down on our knees and pray one for another. Pray in thanksgiving. Pray in praise. I'm going to read the Book of Mormon. Turn to page 430. And I'm going to start with the 219th verse. Yea, humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto him. Cry unto him when you're in your fields. Yea, over all your flocks. Cry unto him in your houses. Yea, over all your household. Both morning, midday, and evening. Yea, cry unto him against the power of your enemies. Yea, cry unto him against the devil, who is the enemy of all righteousness. To have that prayer always in our hearts is our duty. Cry unto him over the crops of your fields, that ye may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your fields, that they may increase. But this is not all. Ye must pour out your souls in your closet and your secret places, and in your wilderness. Yea, and when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full. Drawn out in prayer unto him continually for your welfare, and also for the welfare of those who are around you. Many effectual prayers of the saints or something like that availeth much. Availeth much. The prayers of the righteous availeth much. And I know that's true. I know that happens. We've seen it happen from time to time. We've had needs that we've prayed for, and we've seen the results. I told this story a couple of Sundays ago here at this Temple Lot Local. I'm going to repeat it again because I believe it shows the power of prayer. My mother-in-law had a triple bypass operation back in July the 2nd. She progressed great. You know, everything just went fine. She was healing. She was mending. Looking good. The doctor said, boy, this is great. She'll probably be able to go home record time. We all was applauding, you know, and feeling good about it. In trouble. The disaster. Her heart rate sped up. They couldn't slow it down. Her heart rate, irregular. They couldn't get the rhythm right. Tried 3 different drugs to no avail. She was getting weaker. Could hardly talk. Wednesday evening. This happened Wednesday afternoon. Wednesday evening. Called around to the locals. Have prayer for Grandma. I was sitting with her. Oh, must have been 4 or 5 minutes till 7. They were putting IVs into her. The nurse was busy around her putting IVs. The nurse looked at her and says, "Mrs. Nast, why are you watching the clock?" She said something. The nurse looked at me and she said, "What'd she say?" She said, "Church." One word. I explained to the nurse that our prayer services start at 7 o'clock and that we'd ask the congregations to pray for her. I was sitting there and the time went by. I looked over at her and she did this. I went over to her and asked her if she wanted something. It was 20 minutes after 7. She said, the first one just went up. She heard, she felt, she knew that you, the people of the church, her friends, were praying for her. I was sending you with her again about 1 o'clock in the morning. The nurse came in and said, "Her heart has settled down." She not only heard, God heard. God heard your prayers. God answered your prayers. Oh, what a marvelous thing that we have in the power of prayer. What a marvelous thing. We have a duty as members of this Church of Christ, and I mentioned this a couple of times, to walk that walk and to talk that talk of Christ. And I'd like to turn over to the Book of Mormon and just read a few excerpts out of it, starting on page 315, and this is in Alma. Alma's asking questions that you and I need to ask ourselves, because these are the duties that you and I have. And it says, "Have ye received his image in your countenance?" You know, have you received the image of Christ within you? Have you experienced mighty changes in your heart? Have we felt Christ within us? Have we felt his spirit, his power come down upon us? Do we exercise faith in the redemption of him who created you? These are questions that we need to ask. I say unto you, can you look up to God at that day with a pure heart and clean hands? Have we looked at our hands lately? Have we searched our hearts lately? It's our duty to do so. It's our duty to wash our hands in the blood of Jesus Christ, putting away from us all those things that offend. I would encourage each one of you to go home, pick up your Book of Mormon, and start on verse 27 on page 315, and go for the next three or four pages, and answer those questions to yourself, and see how we stack up. How do we stack up? How do we stand today in our relationship with Jesus Christ? Are we ready to carry this gospel to the world? Are we ready to assume the responsibilities of gathering all those like-minded people into this church? Read. Ask. Study. See. We have a duty to study the Scriptures, to know the words of God. And these duties extend to each one of us, whether we're of the ministry, whether we're man, woman, or child. And we have a duty to support the church with our time, our talents, and our tithes. The bishop in me would like to stand and deliver a whole sermon on paying your tithes. Because, brothers and sisters, without that monetary support that is your duty to provide, this church can't do the things that you want it to do. It takes money to send missionaries out. It takes money to heat this building. It takes money to do the repairs on the yard and the sidewalks. But it's your duty to supply. It's your duty to give. And it may not be a lot, but for each that you give, you will be blessed exceedingly. Try Him. We're told in the Scriptures to try Him, to prove Him. And brothers and sisters, how many times has it proven when we've given of our heart, given of our time, and given of our tithes, has it come back to us in blessings? Many, many times. You men here in the audience this morning, you have a duty. You have a duty. As Christ is the head of the church, you are to lead the families. Lead your families to Christ. Be the leader. Stand up for Christ. I know so many families where the woman is the one who pushes, where the woman is the one who leads and directs to Christ, and God be thanked for that. But you men, you are neglecting your duty if you are not the one that's leading your family to Jesus Christ. Through your leadership, your examples, and your direction. But men, lead in love. Lead in prayer. Christ put a great responsibility on you. And it's your duty to live up to that responsibility. And women, follow the lead of your husbands wherein it leads to Christ. But if he's not leading you to Christ, grab hold of the anchor and go yourself. It's your duty to do so. It's your duty to move out. It's your duty to teach your kids the words of Christ, the way of life. In the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, it says, neither is the man without the woman, neither is the woman without the man in the Lord. They're tied together as a family. And children, obey your parents. Obey your parents in all things. Oh, I've heard many times, this is going to hurt you more than me, or I'm only doing it for your own good. But they're telling you the truth. They're telling you the truth. You have a responsibility, kids, to listen. You have a responsibility to learn. You have a responsibility to ask questions about Christ. To learn about the things that you need to do to be followers of Jesus Christ. For you are the future. Old guys like me are going to go away. And you're going to have to take up the fight. You're going to have to take the lead. And you must be prepared, and it is your duty to prepare yourselves for the coming of Jesus Christ. Prepare your lives so that you will be acceptable unto Him. Turn over with me, if you will, to the third chapter of 1 Peter, starting with the 8th verse. Finally, be ye all of one mind, and that's your duty. Having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but counterwise blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. How do we do these duties? How do we tie all these things together, so that we may attain that goal that our brother Roger was talking about last night? And I have a poem here entitled God's Love that might just give us a clue. God's love is like an island in life's ocean vast and wide, a peaceful, quiet shelter from the restless rising tide. God's love is like an anchor when the angry billows roll, a mooring in the storms of life, a stronghold for his soul. God's love is like a fortress, and we seek protection there when the waves of tribulation seem to drown us in despair. God's love is like a harbor where our souls can find sweet rest from the struggle and the tension of life's fast and futile quest. God's love is like a beacon burning bright with faith and prayer, and through the changing scenes of life, we can find a haven there. It's my desire, brothers and sisters, that we each attain that goal that each will never seek, eternal life.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Frank. Let's remember those of you who that are on the staff for the youth camp. Please get in line first and come up here after you've finished your meal for a meeting. Let's use hymn number 127. Hymn number 127 for our closing hymn.